Well, Purim is behind us, and we're moving towards Pesach. But there's some issues which are still alive, for me at least, from Purim. And Dafke here in Parshas Ki Sisso, it is very, very much Nageya. So I'll go back to Purim a little bit, and we'll see where we end up. I think that maybe in the last year I mentioned that I thought that the pshat in Vayigash, when Yosef revealed himself to the brothers, so he tells them, "Veinechem atochos al kalechem kituv kol eretz Mitzrayim lochem hu." Okay, Vayasu came to the Israel, Vayitun lohem Yosef agolos al pi faro, Vayitun lohem tzedo ladorach. He said, good, now you're ready to go. But then you have this strange posuk, L'chulam nosan li'ish chalifos smolos, u'levin yomin nosan shalosh me'os kesef v'chamesh chalifos smolos. So Rashi brings the Chazal that, why did he have to show favoritism to Binyamin? That caused all the trouble with the Ksinus Pasim. Why did he have to do that? I think we talked about it, that first of all, there's the Gaon who said that in terms of value, the five begodim which he gave Binyamin were not more valuable than the single begodim that he gave to each one of the other brothers, so they wouldn't have been jealous. It wasn't that Binyamin got five times as much as they did. He got exactly the same as they did, except that his was divided into five. And So there wasn't going to be any jealousy. But what was the purpose? Why did he have to go and give him five begodim? It was to be merames to the five begodim which Mordechai would be wearing when he came out of Achashverosh's house after he had been appointed the prime minister, taken over from Haman. So, you know, it bothered me, the question, like, why Dafka over here? Suddenly, in the middle of nowhere, Yosef is busy getting the brothers on the road in order to bring Yaakov. There must have been many, many things on his mind. Like, why Dafke think of Purim now? It was still 2,000 years ahead. And like, what? How does this fit into him? So the way I explained it then, and I don't know whether that's right or not, but it sort of made sense to me that this was immediately after Binyamin had told Yosef about his family. He says, do you have children? Yes, he has 10 sons. What are their names? And he gave each one of the names. It was Al-Shem Yosef. So that's what he told Yosef. So it could be that what Yosef felt, wow, this Binyamin, like he's handed his whole life to Elu, his children, he has 10 children, and each one is called Al-Shem Mi, and he must have realized also that Chazal say that Yosef was like Yaakov, and he should have had 12 Shvotim, so his 12 Shvotim were 10 from Binyamin, and 2 of his own. So he saw that his koichos rested also in Binyamin. I think that is the pshat by Rochel, that when Yosef was born, she tikros shemo Yosef lemo Yosef Hashem li ben acher. I need another son also. She realized that her two sons, Yosef and Binyamin, would sort of be functioning in tandem with each other. That Binyamin had Yosef in himself also. And I think that is what Yosef was telling Binyamin over here. He said, look, Binyamin, you have confirmed what probably I thought all along, that you would not forget me. You're my real brother, and you would not forget me. Now, I didn't realize how much you were willing to give up for me, namely that each one of your 10 sons is named after me. But in return for that, I will give you my gift. And what is my gift? That Hoyo Bes Yaakov Eish or Bes Yosef Lehova, Hoyo Bes Esav Lekash, that I'm the one who conquers Esav. So I want to give you that koyach also. You will be the one who destroys Haman, who is the grandson of Esav. And therefore you have my koyach also, that koyach. And you can use it better than I could use it, because I bow down to Esav. Later on, you have that Chazal, Mordechai lo kam v'lo zor. So why? Because Haman had tainas. Yaakov bowed to Esau. So why can't you bow to me? So the answer is because I wasn't born at the time. So I never bowed to Esau. We all know the stories. So that's what I thought. And I brought liars also that Binyamin has the characteristics of Yosef also, because remember the Chazal brings it that this is the Rashi in Vesayis HaBrocha. I don't want to start looking for it now because it'll take too long, but that when David wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash and he wanted to build it on the top of the Habayis, they told him, Nechois Purta, go down a little bit, because the nicest part of the Shire is the shoulders. We talked about that, so I don't want to go into it again. But this is essentially the background against which I want to understand something over here by the Chet HaEgel, which I could never deal with it. Like, what exactly is happening by the eagle? So they made the eagle, and here, Vayispoku kol ha'om es nizme hazov asher ba'oznehem, vayoviu el Aharon. Vayikach miyodam vayotza oisa bacheret vayaseyo egel masecha vayomru eile elohecho Yisroel asher he'elucho me'eretz Mitzrayim. Like, what were they thinking? They went through the whole of the Eser Makos, and they went through this whole process in Mitzrayim, and they saw the Nisim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they saw Moshe and Aaron every single day, and they saw how it was happening, and they saw what was happening. Now, what are they saying? Eile Elohecho Yisrael, Asher He'elucho Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Like, how could they have said such nonsense? This was a golden calf which had been made with their earrings and with their nose rings, and so that's Eile Elohecho Asher He'elucho Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So I was thinking about that, and today as I was thinking about it, it suddenly occurred to me that L'choy was very, very poshut. What they said. It's very poshut what they said. I think, I look, today's year, a lot of what I'm going to say, I haven't seen in a sefer or heard it from anybody. So I'll just tell you the way it struck me. I don't know whether it's true or not true. Please don't be mekabelet without thinking it through very carefully. But it seemed to me that they were absolutely right when they said, Eile Elohecho Yisrael, Asher He'elucho Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I mean, absolutely right in the context. What do I mean? Because, Hayom Ro V'Yonos, Hayaden Yisof Lo'ocho, right? Ma Ro, Aroyne Shel Yosef Ro. That, why did the sea split? If the sea had not split, it would have been bad news. Then nothing could have helped. So the sea had to split. But it wasn't going to split. His teva is to flow, and he wasn't going to change that in any way. So, ma pitom, what happened over there? Teretz is, hayom ro, ma ro, aroina shel Yosef ro. So, you see that who is moitzi the Bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim? That's Yosef, the shoyer. You know, and the emes is that the Chazalin all fit into that, because over here Rashi brings the Chazal. They threw the gold into the fire, and Egel Masecho, Kiven Sheshlichu Le'oyer, Bo Mechashve Erev Rav Sholu Imoim Mitzrayim Vosu Bechashofem. That's how the eagle came out. And then Rashi brings, V'yesh oimre micho hoyosham, shiyotso mitoich dimuse binyan shenismayach boba Mitzrayim. Micho was one of the babies whom the Egyptians had built into the walls. V'hoyo biyodo shem, V'tas, shekosav by Moshe, alei shoyer, lahalos aroina shel Yosef mitoch nilus. When Moshe wanted to take Yosef along, and he needed to find where Yosef was, so he wrote on the tas, alei shoyer, come up, you shoyer, come up, you shoyer. Lahalos aroina shel Yosef mitoch nilus. V'shlicho l'sor chakur, v'yotzeho egel. In other words, on that tas was written, alei shoyer, so the tas was still effective. That just like there it produced Yosef, the Bechoyah Shoyroi Hodeloi, so here it produced an Egel, Alei Shoyah, no, that's mamish what happened. Yeah, it's the Koyach of the Egel, it's the Koyach of the Shoyah that created the Kriyas Yamsov. Ele Elohecho Yisroel Asheheluchu Meretz Mitzrayim. What was the Koyach of that Shoyah? So that's the Rashi in Vezois HaBrocha. So all difficult to... Oh, one second. B'chol sh'roi hod eloi v'karnei re'em karnav v'hem amim yinagach ha'echtov afse oretz, and so on and so forth. So, zhok de Rashi. V'karnei re'em karnav sh'roi koichoi kosho v'ein karnav nor os. The sh'roi has enormous power, but the horns don't look particularly beautiful. Aber re'em, karnav no'ez, ve'en koichel kosher, but it's not so strong. Nosan li'oshua, koichel shel shoyer, ve'yofi karnav re'em. A combination of both. So, was steht da? In other words, that the v'choyer shel roi hod eloi, ve'karnav re'em karnav. It was a combination of strength and beauty. And the emphasis, that when you think about it, that is mamish what Yosef had. That Yosef had this enormous strength, not to be nichna to the Eishes Potiphar, that took enormous, enormous, enormous strength, like Chazal describe it. So he had this strength. But at the same time, v'hoyo Yosef noiser chen ve'ene kol royev. I don't remember exactly the lotion. He was such a pleasant, nice person. When you think of something enormously strong, you see somebody like a big, full of determination and nothing on his mind except that he should get his way. And that wasn't Yosef. It was a combination of strength and yofi. So what did the people hold? That what takes us out of Mitzrayim, that means Yosef. Yosef was the Yid who lived through Yetzias Mitzrayim in his own life, meaning, right? I mean, there wasn't any slavery, he was the Mishnah Lemelech. But was he in Mitzrayim? No, he wasn't in Mitzrayim. He maintained his entire Metzias, although he was living in Mitzrayim, but he remained Yosef HaTzadik. It was a combination of strength and beauty. If somebody ever asks you, or if you think about it, and ask yourself, what is a good Yid, like how does a good Yid look? So I think that Yosef tells us how a good Yid looks. V'chol sh'roi hod eloi, v'karnei re'em karnav. That is exactly what it is. He needs horns, and they need to be strong if he's going to be effective. That's the v'chol sh'roi hod eloi. But that strength is not allowed to ruin the way it looks, the beauty, the inner beauty of being an Anelech Yid. So it's a combination of strength and beauty. And when they saw the Egel come out, why? Because it said, Alei Shoyer, Alei Shoyer. So the Alei Shoyer of Moshe Rabbeinu brought up the Orion of Yosef. And then the Alei Shoyer of the same plaque, the same tas which Memicho had, and which the Eruvah had with them, so it produced the Egel. So they said, oh, we recognize, we see this Egel, we see this Egel, and maybe it doesn't have the full strength yet of the Shoah, but it's obviously like has the potential of becoming a very, very strong ox, and at the same time, it's so beautiful. This is the combination. This is Eile Elohecho Yisroel Asher Elucho Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Now, for all I know, this might be a Gemara or something. I don't know. I just don't know. But it struck me for the first time that that is what they must have meant, because it's impossible to understand. Like, what did it mean, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, Asher Luchu Me'eretz Mitzrayim? I mean, they weren't sugar. I mean, they just made it with their earrings. So what does it mean, Eile Elohecha? The Teretz is that this Egel is the symbol of what it needs to get out of Mitzrayim. If we are going to be... I can't think of the words. If I'm going to make my attention, I'm going to look at the Egel and I'm going to focus on it, and I keep on telling myself, Yankel, you've got to be strong, you've got to be nice, you've got to be the... That is what a Yid is. Such a beautiful combination. Strength and beauty. Wow! Yeah, that's going to get me to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, I won't be scared of the scorpions in the desert. I won't be scared of this, and I won't be scared of that. I've got everything that I need. Eile Elohecha Yisrael, here it is. Okay, so there was Miskalem, if that's the right word, in the Yid, Yosef HaTzadik. And over here, Moshe Rabbeinu never has gone. And it would have been beautiful if he would have been around, but no, he's not around, so I'm going to have something else. So what am I going to have? I'm going to have, it's kilu like a photo. If somebody would take a photo along, and he goes to war, and he carries a photo in his pocket, he's a soldier, and his family, he's got a picture of his family. So whenever he feels lonesome, and whenever he feels depressed, it's hard to be a soldier. And so he takes out his photo, and he's reminded of all the beauty back home, and that gives him courage and koyach to continue with his duties. So that is what the people thought. It's beautiful. That Egel came out. It's unbelievable. So nice. So evocative of everything that we know about Yosef HaTzadik. Eile Elohecha Yisrael, Asher Elichu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I want to tell you, if you don't mind, a little bit of dikduk. It never harmed anybody. So what does it say over there? It's also like, it's kedai to say over, Vayomer Alehem Aaron. So Aaron said to the people, when they came to him, Vayomer Elof Kum Aseilonu Elohim, Asher Yelchu Lefoneinu, Kizeh Moshe Ish, Asher Elonu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Lo Yodanu Me'eilo. So he's not going to be around. So we need somebody to remind us who we are. There's nothing better than an eagle, the combination of strength and beauty. No, Vayomer Alehem Aaron. Take all the ornaments, which are in the ears of your wives and the sons and the daughters, and bring them to me. So Rashi says that the reason why Aaron worded it that way was because he figured that the women and the children would not easily give up their trinkets. Although they once had trinkets, they were gold, and this was the Bisas Mitzrayim, I imagine. So then, Vayisporku kol ha'om es nizmei hazor v'asher b'ozneim. Now that's a very, very difficult posuk. As far as the dikduk is concerned, it doesn't say uporku kol ha'om es nizmei hazor v'asher b'ozneim, that the kol ha'om took them off. Aaron had thought that they're going to fight for them, and they're not going to allow them to be taken away from them. And so Mimele, it'll take a lot of time, and by that time Moshe will have come. But the cheshbon didn't work. Yeah? No, so if he would have said, Uporku kolam es nizme hazor v'asher ba'oznehem, that they took them off, so that would have been very understandable. Vayoviyu el Aaron. But it doesn't say this. It says Vayisporku. Vayisporku is the hispoel, which is the reflexive. Now the reflexive can never be transitive. Now, if you wanted to translate it into English, what it means is like this. There are transitive verbs and there are intransitive verbs. A transitive verb is a verb with an object. I write a letter. So I write is the verb and the letter is the object. I run is intransitive. Yeah, you could say, I guess, I run a race. But if you don't say I run a race, you're not saying that you're in a race. You're saying I'm running. I run. So that's intransitive. It doesn't have an object. Okay, that's simple enough. Now, the reflexive, the vayisporku, can never have an object. That's the big news. Vayisporku can never have an object. Why? Because what is the hispoel? It is the reflexive. It's something that you do to yourself, right? Ani mitrachetz. I'm having a shower, right? So that doesn't take an object. So over here, this posuk is very, very strange, because it uses the hispoel, v'yispoku kol ha'om as nizmei hazahav, and the S usually indicates a direct object. Kisvilochem es hashira hazaz, write this shira. That's normally what the S is. So how can you have a combination of v'yispoku, which is the reflexive, I did something to myself, so it doesn't have an object. Vayispoku kol ha'om really means that all the people were denuded of their ornaments. That's really the way you would translate it. In other words, something happened to them. They were denied ki'ilu, and denuded is not a bad word. It fits here, and that's exactly what it means. In other words, something happened to them. Suddenly they didn't have their ornaments anymore. But then es nizmei hazov doesn't make sense, really, if es is the indicator of a direct object, because the hispoel cannot have a direct object. So what's takedim shad? What does Rashi do with that? So what Rashi says is that vayispoku loshen prikas masa. The porak means to take off a burden. Is kishnotlom meos nehem nimtzuhem mufurokem minizmeyem. Rashi correctly, of course, right, points out that it's the hispoel. They became denuded of their ornaments. So then, what does it mean, es nizmei zahav? We said before that es always indicates the direct object. Well, that's not quite true. It doesn't always. It also has another meaning. K'moy minizmei. When it says Kitsesi Esoyer, yeah? I didn't go out the city, I go out from the city. So sometimes the S can be the same thing as min. Sometimes the S can be min. So therefore, the way Rashi says you have to translate this Pasuk is they were, the Kol Ha'om were denuded of the nizmei hazov asher ba'oznehem. Suddenly they were without their ornaments. Suddenly they were without their ornaments. Now, it's another thing I want to share with you. Now, I don't know exactly how to deal with this. I guess if you research, I don't have the sforim so much, and I can just read the pasuk with the rishonim and the mafoshim on the mikros gedolos. So I form certain ideas. I don't know whether they're right or not. But why did the pasuk say it in such a funny way? In other words, why did you use the what did Aaron said to them? Aaron had said to them, "Poku nizmei hazov asher ba'oznehem, take them off." He didn't tell them become denuded of your ornaments. He said, "Take them off." Poku nizmei hazov. So we would have expected that the next pasuk should read, so then the S would have been right, and you don't have to start doing gymnastics about sometimes S means from. Everything would have been poshut. But when you say vayisporku, it makes everything problematic, because vayisporku is the reflexive, and the reflexive doesn't take a direct object, so the S has to mean something else. Everything becomes hard. Like, why? Why was this necessary? Aaron had used the normal active, porku, take them off. So one would have expected, and they took off. Now, what does it mean? Now, I think that the reason why the Torah writes it the way it does, that they became denuded of them, I think that the message that is being said over here is ki'ilu, in other words, that I think, but again, I can't guarantee that it's the right thing, but I think it may be the right thing. I think I haven't got a translated chumash over here where I'm sitting, but I don't know how they translate it. But what it sounds like to me is that what the pasuk wants to say is that Aaron was all wrong in his cheshbon. He meant it well, but it didn't work that way. Why? Because he said, take them off. So he figured, take them off. You ever told your son or your daughter, take off this thing? Say, bah, bah. No, I don't want it. It's nice. It's beautiful. And you gave it to me, and it's not fair, right? I mean, you know, we've all many of us are blessed with children, and we know what it's like. That not always are they the epitome of cooperativeness. So he said, "Oh, it's going to take a long time." Zog der Posuk. The ornaments disappeared from them. It wasn't an issue by them. It wasn't an issue by them. Of course you can have them. But you spoke of course, literally they took them off. But it was ki'ilu as though they were denuded of them. Like, there was absolutely no question. They're gone. Why? I think that there's a... I don't know. I don't know whether you're allowed even to say that or to think that. I'll tell you what it sounds like to me, and I don't know whether that's Emes. But maybe it is Emes, maybe it's not Emes. But what I think is that it's the Shevach of the Am. They were in total and utter desperation. Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. Lo yudanu meho yilad. Yeah, if Moshe Rabbeinu would be here, we'd be his Talmidim, and we'd be in Yeshiva Toras Moshe, and it would be a Moiradig Zach. But he's not here. He's not coming back. Moshe Rabbeinu has never not fulfilled his thing, so something terrible must have happened, and he's not coming back. Now, what am I supposed to do? Well, what are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to go? What are we supposed to do? Who is going to teach us? We need somebody to teach us. And it couldn't have been a better thing than an eagle, because the eagle would have combined the strength of Yosef with the beauty of Yosef. The eagle was an El Chayit. I don't know if I'm right, but that's what it means. So, Vayispoku kol ha'am es Nizmei Hasof. Like, the Nizmei Hasof simply disappeared from them. That all the Bizos Mitzrayim had been such an enormously attractive stuff that, you know, Vayasa Moshe Esam, that he had to force them to leave the Yamsuf because they weren't at all interested in going away, because there was still more Biza, another ring, another necklace, another bracelet. So they didn't want to go. So now you'd think that it would be very, very, very hard for them to obey Aaron, even though they wanted something so badly, but you have to give up your bracelet. That's a terrible thing. No, Vayispoku, the bracelets just disappeared. Esnes mehazohov asher ba'oznehem, right? Even though they were really, between you and me, Esnes mehazohov, the direct object, but it wasn't for them a direct object. Yeah, it was just, of course they're gone. I mean, what I need... they can give me a Moshe Rabbeinu, but I'm going to start chaplaining because I don't want to give up a bracelet, because, and for that I'm not going to get my Moshe Rabbeinu. But if my belief is that there is such a thing as Moshe Rabbeinu being replaced, kviyochel, with something which makes me constantly aware of the qualities that are being demanded of me, namely superhuman strength, superhuman beauty. That is what I need, and that is what I have daily when I'm going to have this egel over here, and it's going to be such a mechai, and we're going to dance around it, and this and that. No, Memele the Sotan was also not off duty. So he made already like a znus out of it, and he made ritzicha out of it. So he's also there. I mean, there's a lot going on over here by the Maise Egel. But I really think that is what's happening, and that the Loshen of the Chumash over here is very, very instructive. And if we learn it carefully, we can get a lot out of the simple text. And Baruch Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shem gave us Rashi. It's just that it's so difficult to understand of the vast, vast, vast material which was at Rashi's service. He could have written another perush which has no bearing at all on what he's saying here. But he chose these, and I think that he chose them. If he would have written in Hagdom, he would have said, Kinderlach, take me seriously. I don't just open up a Medrash Rabbah and say, oh, here's a nice Medrash, I'm going to plump that into my perush. I mean, it seems to me that every word that he says, I mean, that's what I've heard, from Gedolim, that Rashi, you have to learn. But it seems to me that he made an issue out of it. Porku loshen tzivoy megizras porak leyochid. Porak in a single form is take off. K'moy borchu megzeras berach. Porku from porak. Vayis porku loshen prikas masa. They were denuded of their nezomim. What's Rashi saying? And then of course he comes along. He's right. Es nezme, k'moy min nezme. K'moy could say, si es o'ir, min o'ir. So Rashi took responsibility. And he touched up the posuk. And I think that he touched the posuk the way that I suggested. That he's saying, let's just see that loshen again. Vayisporku loshen prikas masa, that's porak, kishenotlo meosneim, nimtsu heim furokim in his name. Now, what's the news over there? That when they took off their rings, it turns out that they were deringed. So, what's the news of that? That if you once you take it off, you don't have it anymore. Like, what does Rashi have to say that for? That vayisporku implies, kishenotlo meosneim, nimtsu heim mufurokim in his name. I don't know what the French over there means. I don't know what it is. But what's Rashi saying? That when they took them off, it turns out they didn't have them anymore. I think that what Rashi is meaning, what I said he meant, and that is that when they took them off, they were unornamented. It just happened. The ornaments weren't there anymore. It wasn't even an issue by them. Of course you can have. I'd give you everything I need. I need Moshe Rabbeinu. And if I can't have Moshe Rabbeinu in person, so then I'll have the Egel, which Kaviyochel reminds me of him. The strength, the beauty of being a Moshe Rabbeinu. So Mayer de Gezach, and I hope that there's some emes to it. Have a good Pesach, and Yetzir Hashem. I hope we'll continue the shiur, maybe if it's possible or not, I don't know, but let's wait and see. But in the meantime, I hope that there's some emes over here in which we covered today.